This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or a grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
I wrote a wire here to talk UFC Shenzhen starting at 3 a.m. Eastern time, full of newcomers, full of volatility for us DraftKings players. But we're going to talk about all that. I'm your host, the Daily Fantasy Sniper. Here with me, at least as always, is one of the co-hosts. It is Chris Olson. Chris, how you doing?
I am fantastic. I am actually, you know, I kind of oddly look forward to cards like this because I feel like there's a certain amount of value in the fact that, look, we know we have a lot of newcomers. I think we were talking before the broadcast. I think it's something like 9 newcomers on this slate. And that means that a lot of people aren't going to do the required research to really, get the jump on these fighters and what they're all about. We are here to do that for you. We can do that as conscientious DraftKings players, and that could really give us an edge.
So with the move up in time, the show from Friday to Thursday night, we were recording live. Because of the early start, Joe was unable to join us. So shout out to Sun Tzu. I'm sure you guys will miss him. I think what we're all going to miss the most is him trying to pronounce some of these names. I think that's why he bailed, personally. Follow him on Twitter, harass him on Twitter, tell him he should have been part of the show this week. But
He didn't want MMA KO to make another video about him, comparing him to Steve Brule.
That was fantastic.
That was my favorite thing. Guys, if you haven't seen that, go check that out. It's Joe with all the pronunciations a couple cards back. And then Dr. Steve Brule from Adult Swim with all his mispronunciations. It's one of my favorite things. So check that out if you haven't seen it.
So, but don't worry, the two of us are going to take you through this card from bottom to top, talking all things DraftKings. There's plenty to dissect here. Before we get started, make sure you go to rotowire.com/free. It's a 10-day free trial to all their premium content. No credit card required. Mike, make sure you follow both of us on Twitter. I'm at the DF Sniper. Chris is at Real Chris Olson. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe to this podcast. We record live on YouTube's usually on Friday. Tonight is Thursday night. RotoWire is the feed. Also subscribe on iTunes to RotoWire MMA. I think that's enough of the intro. Let's jump right into this dumpster fire. Face first, here we go. Laura Procopio, 8,400, taking on Carol Hossa at 7,800. Procopio is now a pick'em, so -110 apiece, so a little bit of odd value here on Hossa. That being said, I like Procopio here, but you're going to hear this a bunch in the ton with all these newcomers. It's not enough to get me really excited. Hossa has been submitted a few times. Procopio is the Shooto champion in Brazil, I believe, has a takedown game. I think her takedowns are going to be the difference. Nothing is really scary about Hossa. I think Procopio's got the higher ceiling in her career. But, man, it's a close fight. But I think Procopio, more upside, more grappling. Hossa, okay everywhere. But, again, two low-level fighters making their debut in China. Give me Procopio. But, again, not a fight I want to have a crazy amount of either side of in DraftKings, either cash because they're volatile, and GPP because I don't know if anybody's got a huge ceiling here, but if either one of them had a ceiling, I would guess it would be Procopio. Chris, how about for you?
Yeah, I basically agree. I think that Procopio's ceiling is a little higher than you do. I just think that you mentioned her takedown game, and I think that's a big part of it. But the other big part of it on the feet is that she's the only one in this matchup who has any kind of movement, who throws any kind of fakes or feints. Their opponent just doesn't do that. She's very stationary. She's kind of a solid striker. She's not terrible in anything. She throws a decent jab. She can evade and counter kind of effectively. But I think that Procopio just going to be way too fast for her, in my opinion. The two of her three losses, or I think all, it might have been all three. It's either all three or two of three have come by submission. We know Procopio has a submission game. She won, I believe, her last fight by a bottom arm bar. Of course, you don't want to rely on stuff like that, but I always like knowing that fighters have active guard games.
The issue with that, by the way, is if the ones I saw of Procopio, it seemed like I think of at least two different Joe just popped up in chat. Joe, what? You got to explain why you're not here. It's got to be. I was joking with him before. It's got to be that he's got some edge in this card he doesn't want to share.
Oh my goodness, Joe. I think he's
being greedy. Anyway, Procopio, as somebody says in chat, does have a BJJ black belt. But I was going to say is in MMA fights, she seems to always get them from the bottom when she gets taken down. I don't think Hossa is going to do that. I hope Procopio is more active getting this fight to the ground. -110 apiece, though. Somebody just asked if everyone's on Procopio. I think most of MMA Twitter is, but the line value guys are going to be on Hossa for -110 at 7,800. Sorry to interrupt, Chris. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. And I would just add to that Hossa did hit a reactive takedown in her last fight, but her opponent was very bad, literally just swinging punches from here, and then eventually she just wised up and hit a reactive takedown. So I don't know enough to know if that's a staple of her game, but I know she can do that if she wants to. And again, I just think the movement and the fakt that Procopio does have fakes and feints in her game and the speed is going to be too much on the feet. So I like Procopio pretty much everywhere, and I think she's a pretty decent player for the takedown and submission threat.
By the way, I just saw Joe called Procopio Propecia. So you're making fun of my starting with the mispronunciation.
Yo, I was going to say, do you see what you're denying the people of here? We could have had a great first one, and now you're not here.
Want to see if I struggle through these names. I think I'm one for one so far. Pretty good. But let's move on to Dana Bacarel, at 8,500, taking on Haile Alatang at 7,700. Here's some odds value. Alatang is now a -120 favorite at 7,700. Bacarel, +100 at the 8,500. Two bad fighters. I mean, well, I will say Bacarel, 6-1, has fought mostly nobodies coming out of Mongolia. He does have a win, if I remember right. I don't have it up in front of me, but he does have a win over Kaikara France when they were very young in their career. Haile Alatang, on the other hand, started off really poorly in his career, has bounced back. I think he's 8-1-ish in his last nine. He's the hometown guy in China. I suspect that's why he's got some line value to him. I think Alatang will be a little faster, but I think Bacarel is the one who's going to move forward, pressing the action in this fight. One thing I did want to mention is, unfortunately for GPPs, you can't ignore this fight. It's -165 to end inside the distance. Even with the reverse line value or the negative line value, I prefer Bacarel. I think he's more live to get a finish. I know he's in enemy territory. He's fought better competition. Even the one win against Kaikara France is better than anybody Alatang has beaten. But again, just like the first fight, not very confident. We'll get to some more confident plays later. I have one that I'm not sure how confident everyone else is, so we'll see on that. But for this one, like it in GPPs, again, no thanks for cash, but I prefer Bacarel. Chris?
Yeah, I actually liked a little bit of what I saw from Alatang on tape. He kind of reminded me a little bit of Sergio Pettis, the way he likes to slide back and counter.
Move back and counter, and Bacarel is going to push forward.
And has some power to go along with that. So I liked that about him. I think that he's going to have opportunities to do that here. I think that Bacarel is a little bit sloppy coming forward. I think he's going to have his opportunities to get picked off. I will say he engages in a brawl a bit too much for my liking. And if he does that, Bacarel can can equalize there, but I think that, as you said, he's going to be faster, which I like, and I think he's an accurate and more powerful and powerful enough counter-striker, I should say, to get it done. So I actually like Alatang, and I'm going to take him by finish here.
Yep, I have no problem with that. Like, as much as I want to bust your chops, especially down a man with Joe here, it's just,
I know,
there's a few of those fights where, okay, like, it's hard to really have a super confident read. I'm interested. This is one where I have a funny feeling you are going to cause some trouble here.
Uh-oh.
Amir Ismagulov, 9,000, taking on Thiago Moises at 7,200. Your smile tells me I might be right. Demir Ismagulov is a minus 185 favorite. The comeback on Moises is plus 160. Look, Ismagulov is, I think he is the real deal. He's just a pretty terrible DraftKings scorer. His two UFC wins, he has scored 62 and 84 points. Again, against not great competition here, but Moises, maybe a small step up, but he's won one in the UFC, one against Kurt Hollabaugh. He's decently well-rounded. The problem is, so is Ismagulov, and Ismagulov, I think, is better everywhere. Moises, BJJ world champion, but he's got to get the fight to the ground, and good luck taking Ismagulov down. Like, Ismagulov will just, you know, ho-hum, do what he needs to win the fight. Nothing crazy, nothing flashy. I think Ismagulov wins a three-round decision here. If Moises gets frustrated or fold, he doesn't get the fight to the ground, maybe he folds up for a finish, but at 9,000, I'm not sure how much Ismagulov I want, but I am pretty confident he wins the fight up in his price range. Chris?
Well, your inclination was correct, because I am going with Moises here. I've liked Moises ever since I saw him on the Brazilian Contender Series. I think he's a very capable boxer. He's very good defensively. He's quick, in addition to, as you said, the BJJ World Champion. Now, that might be a weird thing to say. We know that he got wrestle mugged, as we will say the clean way, with by Dariush in his first fight. But even after that, against Hollabaugh, he showed much better takedown defense. So there's evidence that he's learning about the things that he's not so good at. And as you hit on it with Ismagulov, I mean, he just doesn't score on DraftKings. Everybody liked him in that Alex Gorgi's fight because he's a takedown artist, and it was correct. But even with all those takedowns and passes, he didn't even hit the 10X.
Yeah,
so
he went. Oh yeah, you're right. He's not active.
Takedowns. Yeah, isn't that crazy? I mean, and I think four passes too, something like that. But he just couldn't get it done. And his last fight, he didn't even go for a takedown. I mean, unless I missed one, which I thought was very strange.
But he didn't need to. That's what I mean. Wherever he's winning the fight, he's like, okay.
That's true, and that's a good point. But I think that what I like about Moises here is that I think he's going to take the initiative. I think Ismagulov tends to be on the back foot a little bit too much. And I think he's pretty decent everywhere. I just feel like I don't know. I think that he can sort of take over the fight if his takedown defense holds up. If it doesn't, then obviously there's a problem.
You think he's going to be okay on the feet against Ismagulov?
Oh, yeah. I know. I think his stand-up game is underrated. I really do. I think he's slick. I think he's good defensively. I think his boxing is a little meat and potatoes, but it's good enough to get it done. And I think he can mix all that up. Maybe that can lead to a takedown or two. But I think that the fact that Ismagulov is probably going to be on the back foot all fight, and as you said, not doing much, not being as active. You know, Moises can take this fight just by being the more active fighter. And I don't think
he's going to be – Ismagulov's going to be in the back foot.
You don't
– I don't think Moises is going to be a clean enough striker. I think Ismagulov will circle off, hit him with the jab. I don't see Moises having success.
Well, I think
they are about even standing, and I just don't agree. So
okay, well, I mean, so that's going to be a point of contention. I think that Moises is a bit or maybe a fair bit better of a boxer than you do, and that – I think will be the point of contention here. But that being the case, at least in my eyes, I'm going to take Moises to get a decision here and maybe hit value or maybe get the takedown game going. You know, we've never seen anybody really try to take him the ghoul up down either. So that is sort of a question mark. But overall, I like Moises' game. Ismagulov doesn't do enough for me, so I'm going Moises.
Yeah. Okay. Agree, disagree on that one. And we will move on to Kadys Ibragimov at 9,300, taking on Da-Un Jung at 6,900. Ibragimov minus 250, comeback on Jung plus 210. Ibrahimov taking this fight on about, I think it's 5 days' notice, as a huge favorite. Combat Sambo champion, Da Eun Jung. That's about, I mean, I know his name. He's gonna look to trade, but again, I think his takedown defense is going to be good enough to keep Ibrahimov on this one. This fight, to me, comes down to Ibrahimov's gas tank. We've seen him gas before. He's taking this fight on short notice. I think if his gas tank doesn't hold up, Jung could get a late win. Otherwise, I think Ibrahimov rolls over. I'm going to look for takedowns, has good top control. 9,300 in this card is rough because how many underdogs do we really trust? The answer is not many, but you can mix him into your GPP lineups for the grappling upside. So give me Ibrahimov here. I would be much more confident, and I'm still pretty confident he wins. I would be feel really a lot better if he was on a full training camp here. Chris.
Yeah, I'm actually fairly confident in the big favorite here in Ibrahimov. I'm sorry, I'm pulling a Joe here. What was it?
Ibrahimov.
Ibrahimov, there you go. The tape that I saw on Da Eun Jung was just so uninspiring to me. He's just sort of a slow, lumbering boxer. He tries to fight behind a jab, which is okay, but he doesn't even really do all that much. He tries to pressure, but even when he gets guys in the corner, he goes for these really like low percentage jumping knees. He kind of reminds me of Kennedy in Jichuku in that way. I feel like I stuck the landing on that one, but I'll let chat decide.
You held it.
But I don't think that his takedown defense will hold up at all. I saw in his last fight, or maybe two fights back, guys wrestling from his knees, taking him down. He got right back up because obviously the guy wasn't a good wrestler. But if that kind of guy's hitting takedowns, a guy who actually knows how to wrestle is going to get takedowns whenever he wants. The gas tank issue is a valid concern, but I just don't feel like Eun does anything really to threaten Ibrahimov. And I think that this is going to be a wash, really. I'm all in on the big favorite here. It might be tough to trust, and maybe because of that, people will shy away from him. But I'm sticking with him all the way.
I'm going to let you lead off this next fight. I've gone first a few of them, but the next one especially.
So we have okay.
Andre Sukumtad, 8,600. He's a -160 favorite, taking on Su Mudarji. He is 7,600, and the odds on him currently are +140. Chris, who do you have winning this fight?
Well, I'm actually disappointed because I thought you meant you were going to let me introduce it. So now I'm.
No. I meant you're gonna lead off the.
Okay, fair enough. I actually think this is a pretty nice matchup for Su Mudarji here.
You're wrong. Here we go. Su Mudarji?
Before you give your incorrect opinion, let me explain why.
Are you kidding me?
And then
I'm so glad you're going first.
Okay, well, let me explain why. It's because Su Mudarji is a pressuring, one-shot, hard-hitting kickboxer, and Sukumtad is a back-foot counter-striker, and he's going to give Su Mudarji all the time he needs to get his game working. And it's going to be the exact kind of fight Su Mudarji wants. Su Mudarji is actually, and this is something I picked up watching tape for him before his last fight against Luis Smoka. He is actually a decent defensive wrestler. If you remember in that fight, he stuffed maybe the first 4 or 5 takedowns of Luis Smoka before the relentlessness just got to him. We know that Sukumtad can wrestle. We've seen it before. Maybe he should have wrestled more in some context than he did. But he does have a wrestling game he can use. I don't think he's going to be as relentless as a person like Smoka is. That's basically his. Now it is, the Luis Smoka 2.0. Before it was just a grappling game without much wrestling. And in that fight, it was wrestling. But be that as it may, I really think Su Mudarji is going to use his pressuring style. And I think that Sukumtad is just not active enough to take over this fight. And I see Su Mudarji hitting him with something hard and really just sort of keeping him on the ropes and keeping his back to the fence. Maybe a three-round decision, like a unanimous decision type. But also maybe he can hit him hard and change the course of the fight and get him out of there. But I am going to let you take it away now since I've given you a chance to catch your breath. But my pick is Su Mudarji.
I will say that someone says Sukum Ta, they mentioned his fight IQ. Obviously, has no fight IQ. We can all agree on that. But he's better than Sumu Darji. Sumu Darji, first of all, has no ground game. I'm sorry, he doesn't. He stopped a couple takedowns. Smoke is not a great wrestler. He's just relentless like that. Sukum Ta.
Yeah, but Sukum Ta is not relentless.
Sukum Ta is a better technical wrestler than those guys. I think he's underrated. Took down Jonathan Martinez 3 times. Took down Sean O'Malley 4 times. Got a reactive takedown on Montel Jackson, who's no joke. And then on the feet, Sumu Darji is not that good on the feet. And he is going to throw something looping. And Andre Sukum Ta, who is an underrated kickboxer.
He throws some straight punches. I don't know about that.
Knock him the hell out. I think Andre Sukum Ta is risky to rely on a finish here from 135er, but Sukum Ta has it there. I think it's a matchup to get him back on track. You know, he's 2-4 in the UFC, but he's been in there. He's losing to Montel Jackson, Sean O'Malley, tough fights. Knocked out Luke Sanders. Everybody was picking against him in Jonathan Martinez fight. I might even take in Jonathan Martinez, and he put on an absolute clinic there. A couple knockdowns, big power. I just think Sumu Darji is going to get touched up by a counter a couple times. And
that I want to say too that Martinez fight, that was a Sukum Ta who was coming forward, and we don't see that all that often. You can't count on that.
Well, he is at ATT now, better training. Look, I just think Sukum Ta is a more polished striker, and Sumu Darji obviously is not going to take the fight to the ground. That's not his game. On the feet, I think Sukum Ta is better. I am very confident in Sukum Ta. And I'm wondering if he's as a 135er, he could go under-owned in GPP. So,
well, now I know who's going under-owned in GPP. So show me the money, boys.
We will see. But yeah, no thanks for me for Sumu Darji. Moving on, we have Anthony Fluffy Hernandez at 8,800 taking on Jun Young Park at 7,400. Fluffy Hernandez -150. Comeback on Park is +130. This is a GPP fight for sure. Two big guys. Park has been at heavyweight as well as light heavyweight. Anthony Hernandez made his UFC debut last time out and was hurt on the feet and submitted by Marcus Perez coming off one of the shows. I think it was Contender Series. He got fed a can. Look, I think Hernandez is better, but he's still really green, but so is Park. So here's the issues. I think Park has a little more power. But I think Hernandez is the better athlete and just the better, more well-rounded fighter. But he's green, and he's also more expensive. So Eileen Hernandez, I think this fight will finish. But Park is definitely one of the live underdogs on this card. Chris?
Yeah, Park was doing something really interesting in his last fight. He tended to work behind a stiff jab, and then when his opponent would try to counter, he would slip back and counter the counter. I think something like that could work here because Anthony Hernandez likes to bull rush into the pocket with strikes. That's pretty much his entire striking game. He's very aggressive. He's not that great of a striker, but he is very aggressive and he is very powerful. His problem with Marcus Perez is he kept getting caught up in the clinch. Marcus Perez is the better grappler, and that's how that went. Park doesn't have a much of a grappling game that I've seen. So he might not have to worry about that. But I think keeping him at length with the jab and then finding that counter when Hernandez tries to bum rush in could be an effective strategy here. Now, what I also think could happen, because we've seen Park get hit before, is Hernandez could just bum rush in and tag him and get him out of there quick. So I do think it's kind of binary in that respect. Either Park's game plan will work or Hernandez will get him out of there with just his relentless pressure and his power. I agree with you that Park is live, but the more I think about it, the more I feel like Hernandez, that kind of style, will prevail here. I don't see Park executing it faithfully for a whole fight. Maybe if he catches him clean on one of the counters and knocks him out, et cetera, et cetera. But we also have to remember that Hernandez has a wrestling game, so he can put that to work too. I just feel like it's going to be too much for Park in his UFC debut. And so I'm taking Hernandez.
All right, moving on. We have Keenan Song at 8,200 taking on Derek Krantz at 8,000. Song -105. Krantz, the line is flipped on this one, too, -115. It is the mid-range fight. Keenan Song 2-1 in the UFC, but beating up some cans. Derek Krantz, his first time ever fighting out of the United States. Long trip. In his UFC debut, he got to take on Vicente Luque, had some early success in that fight before getting finished late in the first round. I was going to kick it to you, but I've already done the intro. So for this one, this is one I've been going back and forth on. I don't think Keenan Song's wins are against a depleted Bobby Nash and Hector Aldana. Derek Krantz, former LFA champion, I think he's the better fighter. The problem is he's been finished a bunch. He could absolutely walk on to Keenan Song, who has some power, and get finished. That's total possibility, but it's asking me skill for skill over three rounds. I think Krantz is more well-rounded. I think he'll have success pushing forward in this fight. We saw Song, if I remember right, I think Hector Aldana had a little bit of success in their fight. And Alex Morono last time out just absolutely demolished Keenan Song. And Morono's a good fighter, but Derek Krantz isn't that far behind. So give me Derek Krantz in a close fight, keeping in mind that I do think Song's best pass to victory here is a knockout. Chris?
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you. I think, look, to the extent that Song Keenan has had success in the UFC, it's basically been by one-shot power counter finishes. The one with Bobby Nash, that happened at the beginning of the fight. I thought he was losing that Hector Aldana fight before that finish came, and then he just kind of got pummeled by Alex Morono, maybe in the same way that Krantz could finish him here, which is Keenan just kept trying to come forward, and Morono would just loop these counters around the guard and get through. I think Krantz can do some of that. I think, he can come forward, but I think he's more comfortable on the back foot, at least from what I've seen in general. And I also think he's pretty good defensively. He's a pretty good defensive fighter. He has this thing that he does, which is where he caught Luque, where he tends to leap into shots to cover distance. That could be a little bit of an issue against a counterpuncher like Song. But the thing about Song also is when he's a counterpuncher, but he doesn't really do well with blitzes. We saw Hector Aldana blitz him many times in that fight, and that's not when that counter came. The counter came when they were standing in open space and he hit him with a shot. So I think, though, the blitzes could work to sort of back him up and get him off his game. And I think the counter game, similar to what something like Morono did to him in their last fight, could work too. So, I'm going with Krantz here. I haven't seen enough from Song Keenan. I think that, you know, he's good when he can play on the counter. He's got some power, but I think that his tenure in the UFC has kind of been overrated by some highlight knockouts. And I think I agree with you that then Krantz is the better fighter, and I think he takes it here.
All right, next up, Mizuki Inoue, 8,300, taking on Yanan Wu at 7,900. Inoue, the -150 favorite. Yanan Wu, +130 on the comeback. Inoue, fighting up a weight class, has been a victor for a long time, has been a gatekeeper to the UFC, really. So the losses on her record are kind of high profile. These fighters whose names you would recognize. Yanan Wu, last time out, pulled off a huge one of the biggest upsets you've seen in a while, when she submitted Laura Mueller, did lose to Gina Mizani. So Inoue is going to look to grapple. I think she's the better grappler. The issue is here is Yanan Wu is so much bigger. I think Wu's probably just going to out-muscle her. Inoue, I think, has a technical advantage on the ground, but I don't think she can get it there. And on the feet, I think Yanan Wu uses her length to reach, her strength to clinch, dirty box a little, just win rounds that way as Inoue is looking for takedown. So give me Yanan Wu. I'll take the underdog here at 7,900. Chris?
So I think I agree, but for a slightly different reason. I actually think that, because I agree with you that Inoue is the better grappler, but because of that, she gives up takedowns like it's her job. And I do think that Yuanan in those clinch situations will look to get takedowns. Now, Inoue can get something done off her back and maybe get a sub that way. But again, as I said, you don't want to like rely on that. I just feel like, as you said, she does have the length. She is bigger. So on the feet, she can maybe slide back and hit those counters as Inoue tries to employ a more classical boxing style that she has. But I really think that, as you said, that the strength advantage in the clinch, I really think that Inoue is gonna try to win this fight by wrestling. I think that, that's where it gets a little dicey with, Inoue is the better grappler. But I think she's going to get a lot of takedowns. And I think it's going to be up to her what she does with them that's going to decide this fight. So I think because of that, Unan can actually be a pretty sneaky play, and I'm going with her.
Right, moving on, we have Movsar Evloev, 9,500, taking on Zhenhong Lu at 6,700. Biggest favorite on the card is Evloev. He is the prospect that a lot of people have been talking about, taking on a short notice replacement. He is minus 950. The comeback on Lu is plus 625. We're coming off a week where the biggest favorite on the card just burned everyone as Kama Worthy pulls off a huge upset. Do you think that Zhenhong Lu can do that here in this one, Chris?
I don't. Zhenhong Lu is like an extreme counter fighter, which I don't like. He spends a lot of time on the back foot. And he likes to sort of get his opponents into grappling situations and use body lock takedowns. And I don't think he's going to have a lot of joy there with a guy like Evloev. I mean, he's a strong guy. He seems to be pretty powerful. But I just don't see him doing much. Can he land a counter? Sure. But I think Evloev's going to be the more active fighter. I think he's going to hit takedowns whenever he wants. And I'm pretty confident in him here. I didn't see much on Zhu tape that would make me think otherwise. So the pick here is Evloev.
Well, in your tape, you know what you should have saw, right?
Yeah, they fought before. Yes,
they've already fought before. Evloev won. He's gonna win again. Look, he's gonna look to grapple. The issue is he's 9,500. He can get a ton of takedowns. Tends to sit in top control. Doesn't get a ton of advances. Only scored 83 points against Choi in his UFC debut. Look, he's safe, but I don't know how much he's gonna score. And honestly, 9,500, that's a lot. In cash, it's hard not to take the free win. If you can make a lineup fit, but I'm not jumping to play him is the point. Even as a grappling based fighter, who's a huge favorite, it's just the context of the card. He's definitely in play, but I'm not, over the moon to pay 9,500 for anybody on this card. But I do think Evloev wins comfortably through his grappling. Moving on, Kaikara France, 9,100, taking on Mark De La Rosa at 7,100. They are at flyweight. Kaikara France minus 225, Mark De La Rosa plus 185. France, close split decision win last time out against Julian Paiva. A lot of people thought he lost that fight. 2-0 in the UFC, with formerly on Tough. Look, he's going to be the better striker here for sure. Mark De La Rosa, when he has success, it's because he's able to use his grappling. He's bigger and just kind of just overpower people, really. And he could do that here. He couldn't do that against in his last fight. He fought up at bantamweight because of the situation at flyweight. Alejandro Perez just wasn't going to do anything with that guy. What's more concerning is a split decision win over Joby Sanchez, who I don't think very highly of. If De La Rosa can't get this fight to the ground while he's an okay boxer, Kaikara France, the kickboxing and Muay Thai, is going to light him up. I think De La Rosa needs to close the distance, get this fight to the ground. I'm just not sure he can do it. I think he's live at his price at 7,100 for sure. But the more I think about it, the more I just see Kaikara France able to circle off, stay away, use his striking, and wear down Mark De La Rosa as the fight goes on. It's not often you see a 125er dominate with grappling. Henry Cejudo, Wilson Hayes, those guys are exceptions. I don't think Mark De La Rosa's on that level. BJJ is good. I still question his wrestling a little bit anyway. So I'm going to say this fight stays on the feet and give me Kaikara France winning a decision. Chris.
Yeah, I guess I agree. I mean, I do think the fight is closer than maybe a lot of people do. One thing I will say is De La Rosa kind of impressed me in the fight against Perez, which might be a weird thing to say in a fight where a guy scores 13 points. But I think what Mark De La Rosa showed me is that he's quick and he's hard to hit. Even when you back him up, even when you have him cornered, he's good at rolling with shots. He's good at circling off. And in that third round, he had a lot of success against Perez. Going back to his jab and to the leg kicks, I think that look, Kaikara France, as you mentioned, everything. I do think he's the better striker here. But let's not forget, as you said, he was, that was a dogfight with Paiva, and he got absolutely cracked in that first round in the fight against Garcia. I think that De La Rosa could potentially do the same thing here on the counter, which is where Garcia got him. And as you said, I think the wrestling is live too, and I think he's the better jiu-jitsu guy. So I don't know. I think this is a close fight. I'm not entirely sold on Kai Kara France. I'm going to go with him here just because he's more aggressive, and I like I think he's got more tools. I like his body work. I like that he throws in combination more than a guy like De La Rosa does. But I do think De La Rosa has avenues here, and that includes the feet as well. So should be a good fight. I will take a slight lean for Kara France.
All right, here we go. Now we're up to the violence on this card. Hopefully I'll be waking up to watch the last few fights here. And this one, I'm going to try my damnedest to be in front of a screen for this one. Elizayu Zaleski Dos Santos, who I'm just going to call Zaleski from here on out, is 9,200, taking on Jingliang Li at 7,000. Zaleski minus 275. The comeback on the leech, Jingliang, is plus 235. Look, Zaleski is somehow still underrated. Ran through Curtis Millender last time out, as we expected. He's got wins over Sean Strickland, Max Griffin. He's on a, let me count up the wins here. I know he's on quite a bit of a win streak. 4, 5, 6, 7 fight win streak. I think about to be 8, defeating Li in China. Like, he has a little bit of a grappling game. We saw it against Millender, who admittedly has no grappling game, but Li can be hurt. We've seen him rock before. We've seen Jake Matthews dominate him. Zaleski, I think, is a top 10 guy. I think he needs to get a real opponent here soon, because loved skills, loved the flashy capoeira kicks, but he's got good fundamentals behind it. Presses forward, landed. I bring this up every time he fights, but I was at the fight in Long Island where he fought Lyman Good and landed the sickest knee to the head I've ever heard in my life, bouncing off Lyman Good's head, and Lyman Good ate it, which God bless him. But that was to this day, I can hear that still. So hits hard, tons of power, very dynamic. And I think Li is on the decline here. I like Zaleski quite a bit in this matchup. Chris, you taking the hometown underdog with power?
Well, no, I'm not. And I kind of actually think you oversold it a little bit when you said we've seen Li Jingliang get rocked before. I would argue that he gets rocked in most of the fights that he fights in, win or lose, including guys like Bobby Nash, like who was after that? Was it Diache Abe, or is that somebody else? I think that's somebody else.
For
the leech.
No, it was Abe.
It was Abe. Okay, yeah. So even he rocked him. I think that was round one. So look, you can't, and we can't forget that Zawada. I mean, that was almost looking like a 10-8 first round. Credit to Li Jingliang for turning that fight around, which I think has a little bit to do with Zawada gassing, but still. Yeah, kind of some adjustments by the leech as well. I mean, I think you're right. I just think Zaleski is the way better fighter. The movement is going to be key here. The fact that Li Jingliang won't just be able to sit in the pocket and throw. He'll be against a faster fighter who I think can tag him up. Obviously, he's got power. Obviously, he can land. But I think that Zaleski Dos Santos is just going to pick him apart until he finds the kill shot. And as we saw in the last fight, he's got wrestling he can go to as well. I mean, so does Li Jingliang, I guess, a little bit. We've seen him hit trips before and things, but I would expect Dos Santos to go for a takedown before Li Jingliang here would be my read. So recognize the dangers, I would say. Recognize that Li Jingliang is live, but my pick has to be heavily on Elijah Dos Santos.
All right, now we're up to the main event. Jessica Andrade, 8,700, defending her UFC strawweight title, taking on the hometown kid, Wei Li Zhang, at 7,500. Although I say kid, Jessica Andrade is younger, which we just know her more. Andrade minus 185. Comeback on Zhang plus 160. Chris, why don't you take the lead for this one?
Oh, thank you so much. I've seen a lot of people say that Wei Li Zhang is live here, that she's going to pull the upset. I understand where that's coming from. She's big and powerful.
Like psychosis.
Well, no, I mean, at first blush, I mean, she's big and powerful like Andrade, but she's a more fluid striker than Andrade. So I understand the thinking of, well, okay, maybe she can pull it off, but I just don't see it. I think that the thing about Wei Li Zhang is she's got that got a little bit of kickboxing, but she can throw a low kick, she can throw a jab. But that's not what she wants to do. And most of her stand-up tends to be like spinning back kicks and these moves that aren't really don't really seem like something a comfortable striker would do. What she wants to do is get the fight to the ground and grapple. We see her just try to muscle takedowns. And I mean, like head and arm throw muscle. I mean, Andrade can muscle some takedowns too, but she has some better form. She does double leg. She can do single leg. She did a head outside single for the finish on Rose in the last fight. And the pressure, the intense pressure that just doesn't stop. I just feel like it's going to be too much. It's going to be something that Weili Zhang has never dealt with before on this level. And we've seen, I'm sure she hits hard. Zhang, she's big for this weight class, but we've seen Jessica Andrade walk through a storm before. I don't really see the power being an issue. I think there's going to be a Jessica Andrade fight. It could be moments for Zhang, but ultimately she's going to get overwhelmed, as do all, well, most of, I should say, if your name isn't, Ioane and Jacek, but she's going to get overwhelmed in rounds two forward, and I think that's going to be the end of the fight. And I expect another walkover for Andrade here. Interestingly enough, I was looking at her scores. She only has one win in her last 10 fights that didn't score 100 points, and that was 94. So she's always going to bring the point totals, and she's just a great play, and I think she wins this fight too. So I see that in the chat too. Somebody's saying Zhang for the upset. I will be curious for that as well. I guess that could be this person's hot take if they would like. But I think it sounds like Sean too is going for Andrade.
And the answer he just gave is he can match Andrade's physicality. Yeah, she's big. She can't keep up with the pressure. The pressure and pace of Andrade is going to get to Weili Zhang. It just is. Look, this is too much too soon for Weili Zhang. I get she is a good prospect. Her wins are Tisha Torres last time out, a clearly declining Tisha Torres, by the way, for what it's worth, but a good win. But Torres declining. Jessica Aguilar, who's a million years old, and Danielle Taylor, who's bagging groceries somewhere. Like, that's her entire UFC career.
And it needs to be said, we've seen her get absolutely cracked by both Torres and Danielle Taylor.
Taylor hit her hard a few times. We've seen Weili Zhang rocked. Now, look at Andrade, who aside from being a champ, beat Rose Namajunas. Changed the life of Karolina Kovalkiewicz. Also beat Tisha Torres for what it's worth, taking her down 10 times. Left Claudia Gadelha a bloody friggin' mess. Showed her toughness against Yeun Jaejik, who Weili Zhang doesn't have that kind of offensive or even defensive prowess to be able to, use her striking to circle off, counter, and keep Andrade coming forward the whole way and just, playing Matador for five rounds. I don't see Weili Zhang doing it. That's the way to beat Andrade. And just, Namajunas started off that way, but couldn't do it. Pressure got to her, got slammed on her head. Now, I think I've heard some people say that was a fluke. Look, it wasn't. That fight keeps going. Andrade is going to keep pouring the pressure on. It's going to get to Namajunas. And Namajunas is going to land the knockout shot in either the end of the second round or the start of the third, maybe. Or Andrade was taking over that fight, in my opinion. Going to be too much pressure, too much here. Andrade moving forward, I think, with the hype of Weili Zhang, it's got this line lower than what it should be. I think there's value here. 8,700 is a good price for Andrade. Somebody who in her UFC wins 104, 119, 155, 136, 106, 119, 129. Those are ridiculous scores. And some of those, not one of those have seen championship rounds. Her one championship round was a loss to Zhang Jiejik, where she scored 55 points anyway in the loss. So Andrade, great, great for DraftKings. Love the pressure here. I think it's going to be too much too soon for Weili Zhang. I think she's getting a little overhyped here. So Andrade is my pick and play.
Yeah, I agree. I just want to say one thing because that's a common narrative. We have some time here. We're pretty a common narrative is Rose was doing fantastic in that fight, and if it happened again, Rose would obviously beat her. She had a great first round. Andrade was getting to her in that second round with the leg kicks. She was landing more hooks in that round. She was slowing her down. I think, and I thought this at the time, Scout's Honor, I thought that fight was turning before that slam happened. And I think that, look, as Sean alluded to, that's how Jessica Andrade fights. I think I said this on Twitter at the time. Like, if you're surprised by that, then I think it's sort of a misunderstanding of how Andrade wins her fights. Even if you go back to something like the Claudia Gadelha fight, where she had a really bad first round, hung in there, and then dominated rounds two and three. I mean, this is how she wins fights. Not all the time, of course. Sometimes it's just, I guess, a brutal knockout, as it was in Kovacevic. But this is how she wins fights. She's comfortable fighting this way. And as I said, even if Zhang has some early success, I wouldn't feel uncomfortable heading into later rounds, and certainly not championship rounds, with Andrade.
So just reading to chat here, I've been in chat. Fights in China, so I don't know if pressure will make her wilt so easily. That's after the first round. I don't think it has anything to do with it, really, if there are nerves. Honestly, I think it actually, we've seen fighters main eventing in their hometown, it hurt, where they fold up. I'm not saying Zhang's going to do that. I'm just saying it's worth it. Our guy Mo Scream says, who made Andrade look normal? JJ did, with her volume, 5.5 strikes a minute, and Andrade absorbs that much. My immediate response was, yeah, she struck at that pace against Danielle Taylor and Jessica Aguilar. Good luck doing that to Andrade, who's in your face the whole time. Yes, she's going to land some, but they weren't going to close the distance and grab her. Jag was trying, but Andrade is just better. So, like, some people saying, you know, Rose looked good until the knockout. I agree she did. I just think that fight was going to wear on her. But that's the game plan you have to have. What Jane Jacek did, what Nama Yunus did for a round, I just don't think Weili Zhang is going to be the one who's going to implement it. So, everybody who's active in chat, thank you. And queue up a viewer hot take. So, while we give ours, Chris, what is your hot take for UFC Shen Zhang?
Well, as I've said, I generally don't have my hot takes on hand beforehand. I tend to wait to see if I get reactions based on my picks, and that's how I pick my hot takes. And I got at least one big reaction this week. So my hot take will be Sumu Dargi by stoppage.
Oh, you know what? I just, you're out of your mind, by the way. That's, what do you want to bet on that?
Nothing. I want it to be my hot take. That's what I want it to be.
Oh, God. By the way, Joe isn't with us because he's in the NASCAR final.
Okay.
I was in that last year. Joe, I took fifth, so that's where the bar is for you. Fifth place is the bar. I have a story about that for later, but I won't bore our MMA fans with that. So good luck to Joe. I do hope that you win. I'm just reading chat some more. The guy, the big one, Geronimo, we've agreed to disagree. He says he'll tell me so if I'm right. If he's right, fine with me. I have thick skin. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong.
Yeah, I need to say that's look, we're on Twitter. We're always there. We don't shy away.
Don't. I mean, he's being fine. Let's not encourage the trolling. Not saying.
Oh no, within reason, guys. Within reason.
Not encourage that. I'm just, you know, and that is the way to play. A couple extra minutes. That's a big advice I'd give to any new DFS player, somebody looking to get better. Have an opinion. Don't hedge too much on it. Like, don't, people want to oversplit. I disagree with that.
Yeah.
The weeks you're right, be right big, win big. When you're wrong, you're wrong. Like, but have some conviction in what you're doing. I'm here to give my analysis of what I think. Try and be entertaining. Hopefully we do that. And I like to think more times than not, I'm right. But there are days we're going to eat shit. It's just going to happen.
Yeah, it's like my conviction with Sumu Dargi, and Sean's going to be wrong on this one, and he's just going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, I'm not, because I have some ducats wagered on Andre Sukumtas, so we will see. My hot take for this card, though, is I have one in mind. Guys in chat, I still need a hot take from you guys. So
yeah, somebody throw one up.
We are going to say, I don't even know if it's a hot take at this point. No, I can't say that. Let's go with Derek Krantz wins by finish.
No? Okay.
Not a hot take?
All right. Just because, I mean, it's a pretty much a pick 'em fight, so.
right, I gotta go crazy here.
How about a hot take? Is you watching the card the whole way through?
No. How about this? Both of the big line value plays on this card, so that the ones we talked about really early.
Yeah.
The reverse line value wins. Both the line value plays are going to bust. So Haile Alatang and Carol Hossa both bust for the line value plays.
Okay. That will be half bad for me.
But. And those fights are so volatile. Who knows if I'm going
to... Yeah, really. Those.
But the line value is there. They're going to be played in cash just for that reason. Let's see. Yeah. I'm joining your show after I win this one is the hot take. Yeah, good luck with that. Get in line. I saw it. Tom Green, I did not shoot down your optimal. I just didn't see it. So Tom Green says the first two dogs will be on the optimal. What do you mean by, hopefully you can respond. Do you mean first two?
Like sequential order?
Yeah, you mean early in the night? Those the complete opposite of what I said, which is fine. The Haile Alatang and Hossa, hopefully that's what he meant. I'm not sure. Okay, you want a bit of a delay? I will give another one, John Tiller, just because this one would hurt me badly. Sukum Todd DQ'd from an illegal knee.
Everybody wants to pick on the guy's smarts there.
Just stand up. Stand up and you beat
your I know, head. But I know. But look, Tom he's Green tired. He's trying to do every, you know. Give the guy.
Tom Green says both the line value plays end up on the optimal. I'm fighting the viewers this week. It's just.
I know.
The product of this card. There's just.
I know. Everybody's upset with this card one way or another.
It's crazy. But if you are watching it, I hope you enjoy it. If you are. Can try and stay away from your devices. Good luck with that. My plan is to wake up in time for the tail end of the main card. Hopefully my daughter sleeps in a little bit and we'll see what happens there. Other than that, Chris, you got anything to add before I do our outro here?
No, the only thing I would add is, hey guys, just, you know, bear with us through this one. And we got, 242 coming up.
Got 242 next week. We're going to crush this one. We're going to crush next week. Make sure you are subscribed to the show. We record generally Friday nights live stream on YouTube. Make sure you check that out. Hit the little bell on the RotoWire YouTube page so you get alerted when we go live. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes if that's your way of listening to podcasts under RotoWire MMA. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at the DF Sniper. Chris is at Real Chris Olson. Make sure you also go to rotowire.com/free for a 10-day free trial to all their premium content. No credit card required. That's it for this episode, guys. Here's to an Andre Sukumta giant flying knee legal knockout. Good luck in your contest. We'll see you next week for 242.
Thanks, guys. Later.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.